Super spicy and lovely. How about you?
I didn't have any breakfast this morning. I just skipped it. I just went straight to some sport and meditation.
Episode 27 of the Dylan Show. What's that? It's a jingle. Hello, 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 my lovely listeners. It's episode 27 of the Dylan Show. No, it was the best first. Anyway, my lovelies, this week we are having Francis Trussell, the lovely Francis Trussell, and mindfulness transformation of her life and passion about making it accessible to all. She's a full-time meditation expert and coach, and she's loving it. I love her voice. She's got one of the most soothing voices I ever heard in my life. I said to her in the show, she should have herself on audiobooks because her voice is so good, and she's going to open up a new video training series for all the young people out there that are struggling with anxieties or depression. And I think she's going to do well. I think she's going to do very well because, there you go. It's still recording, I think. So, where she's been doing, she's been on ITV, Sugar Free Farm, as a mindfulness coach. She's a regular speaker at events such as the Mindful Living Show and Wellbeing on the Lakes. That's a festival. She loves to help people, and she's been so fortunate to work with such a diverse client base, from high profile stars to CEOs, school children, and people in their 90s and everywhere in between. She quotes, "Whatever stage you are in life, we all face the same human challenges and can all have a richer experience through mindfulness." Yes, mindfulness. All right. She recently read a book. Is that English? She recently read a book. She recently wrote a book, which is called You Are Not Your Fault, and I love it. I listen to it. Yes, as you know, I am a lazy bum, and I cannot stand for more than 20 minutes, as I have ADHD. Yeah, that's my excuse. So I listen to books. I love it when I do my exercise, when I write, when I do morning runs or a cycle run, doing my dishes, or anything that doesn't require full attention, I will listen to audiobooks, especially in the car or waiting for a plane or in the train, so nobody can speak to me. I love the book. It's very tiny, it's very small, so it's very easy read. So it doesn't take too much of your time if you want to book yourself into the mindfulness experiment and transformation, because you will see, as most of us, or actually all of us, when you start to pay attention of what goes on in your head, your life becomes transformed. So, without further ado, let's welcome Francis to the show. Hi, Francis Trussell. Welcome to the show. Hello.
Thank you, Didier.
Okay, you've gone quiet now.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Okay,
you
that's right.
You can hear me now, okay. Yes. Yeah.
Let's get on with it, with the questions, because I don't want to take too much of your time. I know you look like you're a busy bee.
I am always a busy bee, but actually, I've kind of rushed into this.
Okay.
And can we start with a little meditation? Is that okay? Is that
sure.
Completely going to throw you?
That's totally appropriate, because I did my meditation this morning, and I was gonna ask you about it anyway. So let's go for it.
Yeah, so actually, like, as we go in, mm-hmm. I've been rushing around and mm-hmm. setting up equipment, so it would just be really useful for me.
Of course.
As I'm sitting here talking to you now, I'm sitting on my meditation cushion, and yes. I'm just feeling into my seat,
right.
Feeling into breath, And noticing actually that because of all the rushing around, yeah, there's some breathing in my chest, and so I'm just elongating my in breath.
Okay.
Elongating my out breath. And here I am back in the room with you, Didier, and that's much better. Thank you.
What's the meditation cushion? What does that look like?
What does it look like? So I'm sitting on a round Zaffa cushion, okay, at the moment, right, and I use lots of different equipment. Actually, this is just something that I've picked up in my living room. I've got meditation cushions all over my home because, right, everywhere I go, when I teach classes, I'm usually driving around with a car full of meditation cushions. And this particular meditation cushion is one that actually a client has left at my house, yep, from a class I was teaching here last week. So it's an unusual feeling to me because I have my regular cushions, but it's a lovely one. What do you use to meditate with ordinarily?
I don't use a cushion per se because I basically get up, just get a coffee, go down the park, I exercise, do some press ups and chin ups, and then I will, yeah, sit on the bench for 10 minutes. And I use a Mindspace app, so it's a, yes, guided meditation. But yeah, I don't actually use any cushions or anything like that because I'll do it outside, you see.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep, well, you can still always take your cushion to the park.
Of course.
I quite like taking my cushion to the park and then getting in contact with the ground, I suppose, mm, is really important. How lovely. I suppose you've had an opportunity to do that if you're doing your exercise, yeah, out in the park, mm-hmm, and you're actually physically coming into contact with the ground, which is really so good for us, so important.
Hello. I lost you there.
Hello.
Oh, yeah, so I thought I lost you there.
So well done you. Well done you. Important stuff.
Oh, Francis, I was going to ask you about meditation because I've been reading your books. Your book, You Are Not Your Fault, last week.
Yeah.
And I loved it. I think you've got a really soothing voice as well, so it was very helpful. You should actually be a voiceover artist, because I really think you've got a very soothing voice for this kind of meditation thing. But reading for your podcast, for your website, you already have a podcast, is that right?
Yeah, so to sit alongside the book, actually, but, mm-hmm, but also to sit alongside all of the teaching, mm-hmm, that I do, there is there's a podcast in there, quite different to this, so we're not chatting, it's just lots and lots of guided meditations, mm-hmm, which are free for everybody to access. So in podcasts you just search for Mindfully Happy Meditations,
okay,
and there are many guided meditations there. So we kind of start from the beginnings of Bonpu Zen concentration meditation with things like body scans and,
yes,
counting the breath, and, mm-hmm, then it goes through into more what we call Satori Zen, so insight meditation.
Right.
There's a Zen series on there.
Right.
And in that Zen series, there's an exploration of some ancient Zen practices, which are a bit more, a mixture of what we call Raikan work, which is this asking the big questions and really opening ourselves up to an exploration of the nature of reality, and this Naikan work, which is energy work, where we're really getting grounded and drawing on the energy of the universe, really, to be able to power our way through our practice.
That sounds awesome. When you mentioned the energy, I saw a woman in France that actually does. I don't actually understand what was the title of her job, but she actually did like an energy realignment of my body.
And, wow.
Yeah, I know. And I mean, if you had told me this like a few years ago that I would be doing this, I would honestly probably slap myself, you know? But I am a changed man. I have stopped smoking. I think I've really correlated with that. And I'm just totally changed, you know? And it took like a few, three sessions to totally changed my my mindset and stuff, and I'm just amazed of the result. You know, I can't really deny the result of it. So, so it's funny you mentioned
wow.
that.
Wow.
I know.
So, so what type of energy work was that she was doing? Does it have a specific name or?
I think it's something to do with energy realignment. I mean, there's a guy that I've got a book. I can't remember the name of it now, off the top of my head. Because I read it, because she said that she's a, like a healer kind of thing, but she put her hand on my head and on my toes, and she was just taking like the bad energy that I've accumulated over the years or something.
Yes.
And so she just kind of took that out from me, and I can't remember the name of the guy. I can't remember. I'm trying to find it now on my because I've put a podcast especially about this.
Wow. But, oh, I'd love you to send me details on that. That would be great. I think when you always have these conversations, I'm a big believer in the serendipity of these things, that we all have messages for one another, and we can all point each other in the direction of what we kind of need next, perhaps, as our next step. So, maybe I need to look into that, did you?
I totally agree with you, because somebody else mentioned this book that I'll send you the link of that too. It's called Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill. Have you heard of that one?
Right. Oh, I'm well aware of Napoleon Hill's work, but I've not heard of that particular title, no.
Oh, it's insane. Ah, here you go, I'll find it. It's called, the guy is Eric Peel.
Right.
And this book, I can't read it now. Oh crap! It's gone. But I'll send you the link of his books, and he does seminars and stuff. And I think that was
fantastic.
I was kind of. But let's go back to my questions, because I just went on the tangent. for my listeners, what exactly does the term mindfulness kind of actually means?
Well, to me, mm-hmm. it means having my mind and my body full of the present moment. So okay. full of the thing that we're doing when we're doing it, rather than it just being filled with our thoughts. Mm-hmm. So one of the official terms is from John Kabat-Zinn is paying attention on purpose without judgment.
Yeah.
And I think that without judgment, for me, that bit is really important because it wasn't until I started paying attention to kind of what was going on in my mind that I recognized quite how much judgment there was in there. And so putting this judgment down and learning practices which enable us to practice putting that judgment down opens up for me this greater space so that we're able to be mindful of the present rather than full of the rubbish. So that's what it is to me.
Yeah, because I've seen some of your video on ITV online, and I was going to go through my second question, because you mentioned that you were judging yourself a bit too much, and I think a lot of us suffer from this. And but what was the time or that you decided to stop this harmful thing that you were doing to yourself on a daily basis of like judging yourself too hard and just causing yourself a problem? What was the catalyst for change for you?
Well, I think for me, for so many years, I suffered with terrible anxiety and depression.
Yeah.
And I just thought that that was the way I was. I thought that was my personality and that was the way I would always be.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I suppose there were lots of different catalysts along the way, but I got really depressed, very, very suicidally depressed.
Yeah.
And actually, quite often, that is the way for people.
Mm-hmm.
When we have a bit of a breakdown, from there comes the breakthrough.
True.
Because for me, I dabbled with bits and pieces of meditation, or I've always done quite a bit of yoga, and I knew that there were some benefits to it. I could feel sometimes that, you know, when I laid there at the end of a meditation at the end of a yoga class, I could feel that, you know, that I'd touched upon something, but I didn't really understand what it was I was doing. And or why that was so effective. And for me, it took for me to be really, really poorly, and then to be brave enough, because it is an act of bravery when we're really depressed, to sit in meditation. Because for me, I was quite afraid of my thoughts, and I was always trying to escape my mind. Why would I sit, you know, why would I sit and be quiet when all these awful thoughts are whizzing around your mind? But actually, there was a real moment for me where I could suddenly see my separation from thought. This idea that we are not our thoughts.
It just
had been a vague concept that I was aware of, but I didn't know how to access that. And so for me, actually experiencing that directly for myself in meditation, this thing of, oh, I'm here and my thoughts are there, there was a real penny drop moment for me where I could see that I wasn't my thoughts. And from that point, well, if I'm not my thoughts, well, thank goodness for that. And also, you know, also, how can I grow into this space that I've created by sitting back from thought? How can I explore this space? How can I live in that space as opposed to living within the thoughts? That is when this relationship to my thoughts really shifted. And I knew that despite the pain and turmoil and discomfort that it is sometimes to meditate, that changing my relationship to my thoughts was absolutely the key to wanting to be alive for me, if I'm quite honest, because lost it amid the pain and anguish of lots of those thoughts that beat us up. It's easy to not want to be alive.
I ring bell. I mean, I went through a massive depression myself, and suicidal as well. I found that saying somewhere that my head, well, my mind is like a bad neighborhood. I don't like to go in alone. And I felt like that for a long time. But what you just said made so much sense, that you are not your fault, and some of it just let it pass, you know, they don't define you, kind of thing. But when you started meditate, did you use an app, or how did you start? What was the books maybe that you've read, or what did you do?
Well, I tried so many different things, and so many different things work differently for different people. For me, so in terms of a book, I was standing in a queue in a cafe in the depths of my despair, really, during my phase where I was still managing to go to work but having to really act my way through my life. And there were a couple of people in front of me having a chat, and one, I'm guessing they were work colleagues, and one guy said to the other that he was in the middle of reading a book and it had absolutely transformed his life. And that book was The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle.
I read that one. It's very good.
And so I instantly went out and bought the book. And on my first read of it, there were some various things that really resonated, and also various things that rubbed me up the wrong way. But I persevered, and I kind of read the book a couple of times over, and then probably I've lost count of the number of times I've now read that book. But that really did make an impact for me. But then I still didn't really know how to access it. And so, as you say, with meditating, I tried dabbling with some apps. For me, I started going away on meditation retreats. I really wanted to deep dive and then a lot of the time on meditation retreats, you're not necessarily given a lot of guidance. It is this thing of sitting in open awareness and sitting in silence for long periods of time, which can be petrifying. And looking back, I'm not sure how I had the guts to go and do that, but actually I just knew that I had to change my relationship to my thoughts. And me, this was the way to do that. And so then I started working with lots of different teachers, and I'm really lucky to have met along my journey so many fantastic teachers. And I think having contact directly with a real human being, a great teacher who you can ask those questions to, you know, am I doing it right?
Yeah.
And this is what's coming up for me. And we have so many questions, and it's so easy with that judging mind being so strong to think that we're doing it wrong. I'm not doing it right because I'm lots of thoughts, or I'm, you know, I'm not good enough at this, or all of those things. And actually working with an experienced teacher that knows their stuff is just such a valuable gift to give yourself, really. Mm. And actually there's so many fantastic teachers out there. So everyone finds your local meditation teachers. And obviously with the wonders of space and technology that we have, I actually work with a lot of people over Skype now. Mm-hmm. So it's amazing that you can connect with the people that connect with you around the world. I actually work with my own Zen master over Skype quite often, which is incredible from wherever he is, happens to be teaching in the world.
That's awesome.
And so, you know, technology can be really great for opening this up. And also exploring YouTube, you can find some really great teachers who are offering lots of teachings quite freely on there. And
that sounds awesome. Because I want to try a transcendental meditation, but I haven't found a teacher near me, so I'm probably going to have to wait until I come to London. How do you stand on that, on transcendental meditation?
Yeah, TM is it's a different approach to meditation, and so with transcendental meditation, you're given a mantra to work with, and the mantra almost works like a boat that kind of transports us across into a different state, this kind of transcendental state.
Yeah.
And for so many people, they find that so incredibly helpful. It's quite different from mindfulness meditation in that actually with mindfulness meditation, our focus is rather than getting into a different state, rather than just a change of state, we're working towards a change of what we call trait. So we're working more with the conscious mind to, rather than escape thoughts or zone out, in a way we're kind of zoning in to our direct experience of life. And the neuroscience kind of shows us that we can retrain the brain then to be more focused on the present moment. They're different approaches. I know lots of people who absolutely love transcendental meditation. I very much enjoy mantra meditation myself, but it's doing different things in terms of the brain training. So it just depends what you're going for, but absolutely it's wonderful to have training experiences with all these different types of meditation to find something. You know, there's no right or wrong
way.
There's a way that works best for you, and actually that changes throughout our life also as we change as people. And it's wonderful to have an amazing toolkit of all different types of meditation to work from. And actually we live in the most incredible age where all of this stuff is accessible to us. Actually, just a few short years ago, you know, a lot of this stuff we would have had to have given up all our worldly goods and signed up to being a monk somewhere. But we have all of it in our hands.
I agree. We live in a fantastic time because all the information is at our fingertips. So at some point, at what point did you, because this is your business now, right? You quit your day job, I'm guessing. Now you're doing this full time, right?
Yeah, I do this full time.
So when,
I,
go on.
So formerly I was I worked in the media, so mm-hmm. I was a broadcast journalist, and then I worked in social documentary,
right.
And then I moved into kind of more the business of media, mm-hmm. and yeah, and I felt so passionately about mindfulness that I felt that that I just had to teach, really. Yeah, it kind of took over everything for me. It transformed things for me so much that I couldn't keep that a secret, really. I wanted to share that with people and help as many people as possible.
Yeah. Fantastic.
I'm not quite making my millions yet.
Well, you've still got time.
but that is certainly not why I do what I do. So I do absolutely do it full time, probably more than full time at the moment. It's constant. But actually so wonderful to be able to connect with so many people and share my passion and see such amazing transformations in people every day. I get sometimes people say to me, you know, isn't it quite depressing when you get people who come to you who are so depressed? And I know, I mean, it's so incredible to be able to to witness people blossom and see the shifts, not that I'm creating for them, but that I'm helping just point them in the direction of their
way,
own truth, and to see them put the work in and reap the reward of that.
There's no money behind that. It's just it's a great feeling, right? It's a great feeling to be able to do that, right?
Yeah, it's the point I'm on this planet. So
So you finally find what you meant to be, right?
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
How about the book? I just wanted to, because I'm trying to read my book as well, so I'm just trying to pitch your brain on that. How long did it take you to write the book, We Are Not You For? If you don't mind.
Well, actually, it really wrote itself.
Yeah? Okay.
I suppose because of my journalist background, I'm always a writer, I'm always writing. But actually, when I first came to mindfulness, before I was a mindfulness teacher, and I fell so deeply in love with mindfulness, there was also a bit of a mixture of falling in love and a little bit of a panic that I'd lose my way again, that I would forget all of these incredible insights that my practice had given me.
Right.
And so I started in those early days just making a bit of a map, so that should I ever lose my way, I would be able to find my way back. So after a meditation one day, it was more like a bit of a stream of consciousness. You know, all of this writing started coming, and I'm just sitting there writing, and then on the laptop. And then I was actually on maternity leave with with my son, who, I suppose he's six and three quarters now. So it was quite a long time ago. And I after each meditation in the mornings, I would just sit down. And all this stuff would start coming, and actually at that time I thought it was never supposed to be a book for anybody else. It was just
for you.
For me.
That sounds awesome.
And then later on after I'd kind of started teaching, and I met somebody on a retreat who had read some of my blog posts and said, do you have anything else? And I said, well, I did write a book some years ago. I did happen to have quite enough stuff that's probably about a book.
Yeah.
And she said, would you send it to me? And so I sent it to her, and she worked in publishing. She gave it to a publisher, and they contacted me and said, yes.
Just like that.
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes. We would like it. So that was incredible.
Oh,
great serendipity.
It's amazing.
And quite wonderful. And obviously I went back and there were certain things that over the course of the years since I'm through working with so many people, I wanted to tinker with and change. But the large part of the book is still in that original format of keeping things very, very simple. Actually, it's a really maybe... I always laugh and say it's because I'm such a lazy writer, but actually it was because it came from a place of when I originally wrote it.
Be honest, right?
I'd been in such a bad place that people kept giving me these great big books and I was too low to read them, actually, because course, it was just like, oh my goodness, it's too much.
Yeah.
Too much stuff.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. No, I agree. I think yours, I think it was about 5 or 6 hours long because I listened to it on your books. I can't. I've got ADHD, so sitting for more than 20 minutes for me is a challenge, so I just listen to books. And as I said earlier, your voice is quite amazing. So I'm definitely going to dig into the podcast podcast you got out in terms of meditation, because your voice is very soothing. So you should definitely sell your voice out. It's like it's like Morgan Freeman. You know, if you can afford Morgan Freeman to make audiobooks, I'll buy every single one of them. But I'm guessing it's too expensive to do this kind of job. I'm guessing.
That is fine praise indeed. Maybe, if I could start making the money Morgan Freeman would make on a...
Well.
Then actually it would mean that I would be able to do far much more outreach work and just spreading the love for free. So,
plug your business every now and then, you know. I'm going to put the links for you to find you on Twitter and Instagram, obviously your website, towards on the show notes. What do you do for relax? You do meditate. What do you do for fun?
What do I do for fun? Yeah. Well, everything can be fun, can't it? Everything can be fun if we have the right attitude to it. I had such fun just bumbling about with my kids yesterday. Mm-hmm. And... for fun, dancing, for me, dancing just makes my heart sing. Mm. And so I try and bring as much dancing, even if it's just kitchen dancing, into
kitchen
my
dancing,
life as possible. Just whopping up the music, dancing around the kitchen.
Okay.
I was speaking at a well-being festival over the weekend, and it was quite a big... Yeah, it was like a 2.5 hour drive there and back.
Right.
And car dancing, wow, because you can really...
How do you do car dancing?
Car dancing, obviously you have to be focusing on on the road, on the wheel, but you can whop that music up like really loud when you're on the motorway.
Yeah.
And, you know, the shoulders can still be going.
Of course, I get it. You sing
car
as well.
Singing, dancing, the whole lot. I think any of these things that are this expression of joy, we can get very serious, can't we, as we get grown up, and we can be too grown up. So just fun is everywhere if you lose some of the serious and just walk the music off.
If you know to look for, I try to be not silly, but just be a kid when I go out. Now, just look at the sky and make shapes out of clouds like I used to when you're a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, silly things like that kind of make me in touch with my inner child. I was going to ask books that you might recommend to me, like books that actually shaped you in changing your life for the better, I'm guessing.
Yeah, so absolutely. That Power of Now really, really fantastic.
Okay.
And also, you know, it's great on audiobook as well. My own teacher, Zen Master Daizan Roshi, his book, Practical Zen, is really great. To give you an understanding of the background of Zen and some practices to kind of go alongside that, and that kind of ties in also with some of the practices that I've been given permission by him to teach also. That you'll find on the podcast. So those things link quite well together. I'm a big fan of Zen. I love Just this sense of the hero's journey, actually, we all recognise. Mm-hmm. We feel that feeling of emptiness, actually, that certainly you mentioned that you've experienced in the past, and yeah. I know that I've experienced this kind of emptiness, this hole that opens up, and we yeah. can look for all sorts of external things to fill that hole, yeah. but actually this hero's journey is about recognizing that hole is, you know, if we search inside ourselves, there's an opportunity to find wholeness, and that we can do that through some of these incredible ancient practices that are available.
That's what's amazing, because those things are not new, you know, they've been out there for like centuries, and they're just coming back up. I think it's great. I think, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. This great well of wisdom that we have, because there's so, you know. There's so much information out there, but actually, rather than new information, we can kind of dig back into that well of wisdom and find everything that we might ever need.
I agree. I will send you the books that I mentioned earlier, the Outwitting the Devil by Napoleon Hill, and I'm well into Stoicism at the minute. You're familiar with it, and that helps me a lot, quite tremendously. And that's Marcus Aurelius, that's a Roman emperor. It's just like, you know, it's so old and still so true to today, you know?
Mm.
That's what I think amazing, you know? The information is all out there. I just have to find it, in kind of way. I was going to ask you, any new project that you're working on in the minute? Any stuff that you're quite excited about?
Yeah, so I am doing a lot of teaching at the moment, which I just love watching those transformations in people, but also so in the autumn I'm taking a little bit of time to actually step back and start making some video.
I was gonna say, you could do that yourself, couldn't you, with your background?
So I've recently kind of began to make YouTube videos and put some bits and pieces of teaching videos out there for people to use, and I get a lot of I see a lot of people one-to-one, and at the moment I've got so many young people with such terrible anxiety, and so I feel really compelled to create an online course for young people with anxiety, and to help in general anxiety, but also around exam stress, which is such, you know, it's such a big pressure for so many kids, and unfortunately can really send them off on all sorts of spirals, and I recognize in myself that as a teenager I just didn't have the tools to cope with lots of those stresses and strains, and just that anxiety of believing we are our thoughts and getting really caught up in negative thinking. So and kids nowadays have that even more so with all of the pressures of social
media. Social media makes it even worse, you know. I wouldn't have all that, you know.
Yeah.
Thank God I'll probably I'd be even more messed up, I mean, not than I was, so.
So I really feel that, you know, an online course for young people is the autumn project that I must dive into, because even for some of these kids, coming out to even meet with a therapist and stuff, the anxiety is so high. That can be really troublesome in itself, so let's make good use of this connectivity that we have and this technology that we have, rather than seeing it as completely a bad thing. I'm going to try and embrace it in a way.
I think you could be a YouTube sensation with this. Your voice, you got the voice on it, so I think you're going to do very well. But it's true, the poor thing are doing it to themselves. It's the internal dialogue that you do to yourself and create all your problems, you know. And it's easy now knowing it, but back a few years back, I didn't know this, and I was arming myself just by the stupid things I was thinking of by myself, you know, as you know.
Yeah, we do it to ourselves, we do.
I know, it's so silly, you know. Well, Francis, I can't take too much. I've taken enough of your time. It's been a blast, and I hope that I can talk to you again, maybe towards the end of the year or next year, and check up on the video series that's coming out for you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome. Do keep in touch. It's been a pleasure to speak with you today. Thank you.
It's been fantastic. I've been looking forward to it, and I'm so delighted because it's been fantastic. I think it's one of the best episodes I've got so far. So I'm very delighted to have you on the show.
Wonderful. Thank you, Didier.
Well, thank you. Have a good day, and I'll speak to you soon. And good luck with your work, and thank you for what you're doing. You're doing fantastic. And thank you for the book. I really liked it. Really, I enjoyed the book.
Oh, great. That's wonderful.
No worries. See you soon. Okay.
Hi guys, thank you for listening to The Dialer Show. You can subscribe on iTunes Podcast and Google Play and any other platform that you may choose. It's all in the show notes. If you want to connect with me on the social media, you can on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. I am usually under the name of Didier Soulier, so that is DidierSoulier. Thank you again for listening, and I'll see you soon.